Joining us right now is an NFL media reporter and a columnist. He's a fellow UC man, the pride of Cal, friend of the program. He is Michael Silver. Mike, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good. By the way, I'm a Gaucho dad, so that's probably even more important.
Dude, I am so proud of you for that. So how's that experience been?
Phenomenal. I mean, you know, you know. And it's, what's weird, Jim, is that it's those kids are so smart now, it's so hard to get in. Like, so my wife and I are kind of sitting there at orientation, like, how big a party school could it be? They have to work so hard, but yet they manage. It's amazing.
Mike, I was shaking my head and laughing at that because that was the first thing that went through my mind. That's the first thing that goes through all of our minds. None of us could get in now. That's why I said to you, I am so proud of you that you got a child into UC Santa Barbara. That is not easy at all.
I know. It's amazing. So, yeah, it's a beautiful place. Tough life he's living right there on DP. But he's going to bravely soldier on.
I love that. 6,500 DP?
I don't think it's 6,500, but it's right. I took him out to dinner one night and walked him back to his place, and kids were looking at me. It was like a Friday night. It was like an elephant was walking down the street. They're like, what is this old person doing here? And I was so freaked out. I put a hat on and kind of went a couple streets up and walked back to the car and stuck back. I did not belong.
These guys are like, yo, grandpa on DP, grandpa on DP, grandpa alert. Mike Silver joining us. I appreciate your thoughts on that. Don't act like I couldn't talk to you for an hour about that. But am I correct in thinking, Mike, did you sit down with Joe Montana this morning? And if so, how did that go?
I sat down with him yesterday, okay. And it'll be on our pregame show on Super Sunday, and it went amazingly. And, you know, he obviously he has feelings for both organizations, and you would think on paper, well, you know, 49ers, San Francisco had never won a professional sports championship. He's the guy who took them to greatness. He lives in San Francisco, but it is a little complicated because he lost his job because of injury, felt betrayed at the time by the franchise, and the Chiefs really took him in at a time where, you know, he felt vulnerable, and he just had the 2 years there, but still, you know, is kind of emotionally tied to that organization too. So he claims he's just going to root for offense, and I don't think he's going to be disappointed in this one.
I look forward to that. Mike Silver joining us. Now, Mike, you covered Super Bowl 32 when the Broncos beat the Packers, and 18-year-old Kyle Shanahan made it into your piece for Sports Illustrated. How was that? How did that come to be, and what do you remember about Kyle back in the day?
Yeah, well, what's amazing is the next year in Atlanta, so that was Super Bowl 33, he made it into the piece again, and this is what I remember. Mike Shanahan knew I wanted to spend some time with him and said, hey, come to the end of our Friday practice. You can ride back in the car with me, and then we'll go up to my hotel room in Fort Lauderdale. Well, we did that, and Kyle was with us, and Mike went up and to the suite that he had and just disappeared and showered and probably was gone for nearly an hour and just left me and Kyle in the room to talk. And I remember our conversation being nothing about football. It was all like, so dude, what's high school like? You know, how's that in Colorado? You know, and just, you know, great kid, but I probably should have been, you know, pimping him for information if I had known he was going to turn out to be one of the great offensive minds of his generation. But yeah, no, it is amazing to me. You know, I covered, when I first got to Sports Illustrated, I had been covering the 49ers for Northern California newspapers, and I covered that first Super Bowl in Miami, Chargers-Niners. That was Super Bowl 29. And Mike Shanahan was the offensive coordinator and before taking the Broncos job. Earlier that season, in September, while I was still at the Santa Rosa Press-Democrat, I went to Kansas City and covered one of the most surreal games I'd ever covered, which was Steve Young and the Niners, who would later rally and go on to win the Super Bowl, against Joe Montana and the Chiefs, who were coming off an AFC Championship game appearance at Arrowhead. And, I had a great talk with Joe about that yesterday. Don't know if it'll make the piece, but one of the things that stood out in that game was that Derek Thomas, the late, great Derek Thomas, and Neil Smith and friends were so charged up and just punish Steve Young in throughout that game, and Joe played great and the Chiefs won. And I asked Joe, you know, did they verbalize to you that they were kind of being protective of you and wanted to take it out on your successor? And he said, oh yeah, you know, as far back as training camp, they were basically talking in very graphic terms about what they were going to do to Steve Young. So very interesting.
We're talking to Michael Silver. You know, Mike, you talk about Joe Montana. I'm going to go back down for 1 minute because you and I are kind of that generation, and we know it's impossible to go across generations and try to compare. You know, it's just everybody wants to play that game. Who's the GOAT? You know, Mike or yep. LeBron? I guess it really depends on your point of view. But in terms of all the guys you've covered, have you ever seen anybody in that game with the sort of it, that intangible it that Joe has? Does he still have it even?
Yeah, he does. I mean, he's very low-key and understated, you know, off the field, which is part of his charm and why I love him. But full disclosure, it's hard to be objective. I grew up a 49er fan in Los Angeles in enemy territory, and pretty much saw them lose to the Rams and everyone else for most of my childhood. And then when I was 16, Joe Montana, you know, became magical, and then they became the greatest team of their era. And, you know, once I covered them, that went away, but I didn't start covering them until 1989. So I had a decade of Joe Montana being the guy who had, you know, enhanced my childhood probably, you know, more than anybody. And so, you know, listen, to me, what always set him apart was the magic. So many times where he had to rally them from dire seeming circumstances down, you know, and whereas, you know, and you can't hold this against Brady, but Brady early on had a lot of, well, it's tied, and he kind of ducked his way down and they got a field goal. No, still heroic and not his fault, but Montana, it was more of these magical, you know, insane escapes. Now, when Brady overcame the 28-3, that kind of, you know, put down a chip in that department that was pretty special. So, you know, look, I'm always going to be a Montana guy. I covered him. I saw him every day. The magic to me is overwhelming. It's hard, you know, to say that Tom Brady's career and body of work is not the greatest ever put down. And I think you can make cases for guys like Peyton Manning and Elway and Johnny Unitas, who I didn't get to see, and Otto Graham and Marino and that's what makes it so fun.
All right, so one final thought, Mike, and you and I could talk for a long, long time about a lot of things, but as long as we're having this discussion, so you've got Joe or Brady, you've got Mike or LeBron. I'm gonna hit you with one more now off the board. The Rolling Stones or The Who?
Wow. Okay, so I got to sit down with Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey earlier this year and wrote many words about it, and it aired on our network. So I'm coming off this surreal experience that was incredible. You know, I think what's interesting is that my dad, who was in his late 70s, who, you know, taught me about rock and roll, I think we would be debating on the air right now, and I would take the Stones and he would take the Who. Uh-huh. And it would be a great debate. But I'll also take Jordan and Joe and the Stones, and I'll live with it. You know, they're unsolvable debates, and if I could ever interview Mick and Keith, I could compare that experience with the career-capping, insane experience of spending 50 minutes with Roger and Pete.
I was going to say, Mike, really quickly, there is no right answer. There is no wrong answer. I would go with your dad on this one. I love the Stones. I mean, I love the Stones, but I like the Who just a little bit better. What was it like to sit down with those two?
Utterly surreal. Now, among other things, Pete Townsend told me to bleep off four times consecutively.
Awesome.
And the fourth time he said, no, seriously, bleep off. And, I was in my happy place as it was happening because, A, I mean, it's amazing. B, it was on camera. C, I didn't really disagree with him. Like, I kind of said some smart alecky thing that triggered him. So I wasn't, you know, I wasn't particularly invested. And D, while it was happening, the entire time Roger Daltrey was sitting next to him was kind of making a face at me and mouthing something, and I took it to be, don't worry about that grumpy guy, he just does this sometimes. And then we were friends again pretty, you know, probably about a minute later. So it was amazing. I just thought, you know, there aren't that many football tie-ins because, you know, Roger's a soccer fan, doesn't really know anything about American football. Pete doesn't care about any of it. But, you know, beyond the, trying to tie it into what I do, just from a music perspective, they said things to me that were chilling that if I were just a music journalist and took that content, I would have been utterly blown away. So for people who care, I wrote about 6,000 words on it on NFL.com. I'm sure you can find it either in my archives or if you Google me and the Who. But it was pretty special.
It's tremendous. Go find it. He is an NFL media reporter and a columnist. He is the pride of Cal. Good friend of the program. He is Michael Silver. Mike, great to have you back. Great conversation. Appreciate it so much.
Thanks, Jim. Go Chos!
Go Chos, my man. And I truly am proud of you for getting a son into UC Santa Barbara.